Jeremiah chapter 13 with me. Jeremiah 13. I already didn't tell you why I'm going before Evan. Evan's actually hoping the Lord's going to return in the next 15 to 20 minutes. We're going to read the first 11 verses of Jeremiah chapter 13 together. Jeremiah 13, 1 to 11. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist, but do not let it touch water. So I bought a belt, as the Lord directed, and put it around my waist. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the belt you bought and are wearing around your waist and go now to Parath and hide it there in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and hid it at Parath as the Lord told me. Many days later, the Lord said to me, go now to Parath and get the belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Parath and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I had hidden it. But now it was ruined and completely useless. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound around a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor. But they have not listened. So tonight, we're going to look at God's primary purpose for mankind, his intentions for man. And I would suggest that there are two main reasons that he made mankind. And they're in verse 11, both of them. That's why I chose this passage. A few weeks ago at College and Careers here in Listowel, we were thinking of a question. We thought of the question, why are we here? And that's a good question. I hope we've asked ourselves that. And there were a number of reasons, but I think overshadowing, there are these two reasons in verse 11. I'll read the first part here. For as a belt is bound around a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people. That's the first one. See the closeness to God, like a belt around the waist? That's how close, like the intimacy of our relationship. It's amazing. Like, this is how close we are to God. And I've labeled this fellowship. Fellowship is a beautiful word, but it's also a biblical word. So fellowship is the first reason for the first purpose for God. The first of God's purposes for man. The second one is at the end of this verse. The Lord says he's chosen them to be his people. He says, for my renown and praise and honor. And that's, of course, the second thing I wanted to bring out. It's for his glory. It's only for him. So, these two things. I'm going to look at this. And I know last time I spoke, I did an outline. And somebody appreciated it. At least they told me that. I think it was so that they could kind of tell how far I was when I was going to be done. But it's good to be organized that way. So I'll give you an outline here of what I'm planning on speaking in the next 15 minutes or so. The first thing we'll look at is, so these God's purposes are fellowship and that we bring him glory. And we're going to look at that in relation to man's destiny. What is the chief end of man? So the man's destiny. I'm going to go back. It might seem backwards to you, but it's straightforward in my head anyway. We're going to go back to creation. Why did God make man in the first place? So man's final destiny is creation. And then we're going to look at right now for us. I got to make it practical somehow. How are we supposed to live in light of this? We're supposed to live in fellowship and for his glory. I'm going to look at some practical things that will help us do that, that we can put into practice starting tonight, tomorrow, this week. So those three things. So start with, the destiny of man. What was God's purpose for mankind in eternity? Eternity in the future. Might be in the very near future, too, I should add. I appreciate one brother here who has taught us well in the Westminster Confession that question, what is the chief end of man? And the chief end of man is, if you know it, you can say it,
glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Very good. Those two things, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Ryan's on the ball tonight. Those two things, and those are, you see that in verse 11? That's what I've been talking about, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So we're going to start with that, the chief end of man. We're going to look in God's word at some scripture. This is our destiny. This is what we're meant for. This is what God intended for mankind in the first place, but he's made it available to us, and that's for eternity. So starting with a verse in John 17, if you want, you can turn there. That would be nice. John 17 and verse 3 gives a definition of eternal life. The Lord is speaking to the Father, and he says in John 17, 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life. Did you catch that? It's knowing God. That's eternal life. So, when we think of the opposite of knowing God, eternal death, eternal separation from God, the opposite of knowing God. And what an awful place to be. The Lord has given us free will. And we will talk about that later, because free will really gives us a capacity to glorify the Lord. But man has used his free will not to glorify God. Instead, he's going his own way. He rejects knowing God. So that's the first thing, eternity, fellowship with God. Some refuse and some seek that. And we look forward to that for eternity, I hope. Think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 13. "Now we know in part, but then we shall know mostly." No, I said fully. "Then we shall know fully. Then we shall see him face to face." There's that thought there, that we shall see him face to face. So, fellowship with God. You see that for eternity? We get that taste of that now. And it's great. We are such a privileged people. The second thing, glorifying the Lord. If you've ever read Revelation, it's glory to God, glory to God. Every chapter, almost every chapter. Hallelujah. There are these choruses. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And we sing that song too, like praise and blessing and power and glory and everything else you could say, all these great things. But it's going to be for all of eternity, and it's never going to run out. I mean, he's always going to be worthy, the worthy Lamb that was slain. The cross is the central point of not just life on earth, but it's the only event for all of eternity that's going to be remembered. All of eternity. That's the chief end of man. I hope you see that. Eternity. I hope you look forward to that, really. The chief end of man. Glorify God. Enjoy him forever. I want to point this out too in creation now. In the very beginning, this isn't something new. This isn't God's intention for mankind for eternity. This is starting from Adam and Eve, right in the beginning. In the beginning, God had a plan in creation. And in Genesis 1:26, we read that verse. God said, "Let us make man in our own image and in our likeness." And that's exactly what he did. When I was a kid, I used to think in his image meant physically. We were made in his image physically. And that's really not what it's referring to. It's referring to we are spiritual and eternal beings. We have a mind. We have emotions. And we have a will. Mind, emotions, and will. And if you don't believe me that emotions are not important, that we can share emotions that the Lord has, if you don't believe me, go out to a cornfield and try having fellowship with corn. It doesn't work so well. So we have to have these emotions. We can share emotions. We can share. We have a mind. We can have fellowship. And even with your pet, your fellowship is going to be very limited. Your dog or your cat, whatever it is. But we need even non-Christians in this world. They seek other people to fill that void, to fill that fellowship void. They seek other people. But there's nothing satisfying about searching for other people when we have that empty void that only God can fill, really. I mentioned free will. We're going to mention this more in the glory section. But free will is important. This morning, I think it was Dan mentioned the different offerings in Leviticus 1, 2, and 3. And they're voluntary. They're voluntary. One of the offerings is called the fellowship offering, or the peace offering, we might know it as. Now, this offering was, of course, voluntary, and it was unique in a few things, but one major thing, and that was this, that it was split between three parties. And this is, I believe, the only offering that actually the person offering the offering was actually, he would take a part of it for himself. This was shared. So three parts, one for God, one for the priests, and one for the person offering. So that's a fellowship offering, and it requires at least two willing parties for fellowship, true fellowship. I wasn't here this morning, or I didn't hear Pete, I was here, but Pete apparently spoke on Genesis 3, and I was going to mention this verse 2 and verse 8. Genesis 3:8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the way it mentions it, kind of in passing, this was habitual. This was common, that the Lord would come to the garden in the cool of the day, he'd walk and talk with them, and have fellowship, and it was mutually enjoyed by both. Well, it kind of was until sin came. That's the problem. It was absolutely enjoyed until sin came into the picture. Suddenly, that's it. Fellowship broken. So, creation. God made man for fellowship. God made man for fellowship with other man, for fellowship with him. We are made in his image. Secondly, I want to show you, made for his glory. Revelation 4 and verse 11. You don't have to turn there. It's way over at the other end of the Bible. But I'm going to read it. Revelation 4 and verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Psalm 19 brings this out as well. The heavens, they declare the glory of God. In Romans 1, creation manifests the glory of God, so that man is without excuse. Creation is for the glory of God. But the greatest thing that I find about this is that man is the crowning point of creation. Man is just the ultimate. Remember, each day, God saw what he created. It was good, it was good, it was good. Good, good, good. God created man. Very good, very good. And he rested. He rested. Man was a crowning point of his creation. And I would suggest that's because he's the most capable of giving glory to God. Of all the other creatures, we have that privilege, but it's also a responsibility. We have that privilege. We can give glory to God. It's no wonder that that when Satan, Lucifer, he became proud and jealous of God, and he said to God, I will, 7 times, and he was cast out of heaven. His only place for revenge was on mankind. Mankind, he attacked them in the garden, and he was successful at it. We sided with him. We chose. Okay. He attacked mankind for two reasons. First of all, again, these two, man was the number one closest part of creation to God's heart. Made for fellowship, remember that? Closest to God's heart, made in his image. Secondly, Satan attacked them because he was most capable, and I mentioned this, of giving God glory. We had a choice. How much glory we can bring him when we have a choice to follow him, and we choose him. When we have a choice, we could have gone another way, but we choose him, and that really brings the most glory to God, rather than if we didn't have a choice, then we follow God, because that's our only option. Or if we did have a choice, and we chose to go the other way, that dishonors the name of the Lord, because we lose faith in him. But just want to point that out. When we do follow him, that brings him the most glory. So, that's really what I wanted to fly through, and now time's almost gone already. But here's the meat, like the most practical part. Now, today, what does this mean for us? How can we live for God's priorities for our life. Yes, for fellowship. Yes, for glorifying Him. Look at fellowship, first of all. I want you to notice two things back in Jeremiah 13. Two things in this verse speaking about fellowship. It talks about, for as a belt is bound around a man's waist, so I bound. That's what the Lord says. The belt, I was wondering what this was exactly. What is this belt? It's a linen belt. We know that from the first few verses. Is this a sash or a belt as we know it? Or is it just a piece of clothing? I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I looked it up. Many believe it could have been actually an undergarment. Like, this is pretty personal, pretty intimate. And it just shows how close that God has bound this people of Israel to Him. They're just bound around His waist. You can't get any closer, really. That's the first thing I wanted to point out. How close. We sang that song and it was, wow, like, how does that happen? Near to the heart of God. I was just thinking of that. Like, this is how near we are. The second thing I want to point out from this is, in verse 11, for as a belt is bound around a man's waist, the Lord says, so I bound. And it's the Lord that has done the binding. He has bound us to Him. It's amazing that we as in mankind, our representatives, we have ruined creation through sin. And before, we used to have fellowship with God. Gone. That bridge, it's been wiped out, washed away. That's it. Our sin just separated us from God. But He was the one, and here's what I'm talking about. The Lord says, I bound Israel to Me. Same thing here. He's the one, He took the initiative. Think of these two I words, intimacy and now initiative of God. Initiative. He took the initiative, and He sent only one person that could actually bridge that gap between God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ. He has taken away that sin. We still have that free will. We can choose, but He has given that only bridge. John 14:6, no man comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says that. I've really enjoyed this the last week. It's amazing to think that Almighty God of creation, He's sovereign over all. And yet, us, we're so minuscule. And yet, He has taken the initiative to come and to bring us into fellowship with Him and with His Son. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, and I'm going to quote it. You don't have to turn there. It says, God, who has called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. He's the one that's called us. It's a privilege. I wish we had, too often we give Him the cold shoulder. Look what He's done. And it's not like we deserved a little bit of it, or we were like not so bad. Oh, He did everything. We didn't deserve it at all. What a privilege. Why aren't we seeking the Lord more? This should be the desire of our life. Jason, you're thinking like, what are you talking about? What is fellowship? Fellowship is time spent with God. And if you have a friend, you don't just once in a while give him a nod or something. You spend time with him. You share your life with him. You get to know him or her. That's what friends do. But the Lord, too often we just you know, spend a quick minute with him and gone for the day. Okay, here's where it gets really practical. First of all, fellowship can be had anytime, anywhere, and in any circumstances. You know, you can have fellowship with God at work. You can have fellowship with God before you go to sleep. You can have fellowship with God in the car. You can have fellowship with God anywhere. It's so easy, it's frightening how we don't take advantage of that. The second thing I want to talk about, prayer here. First of all, fancy words are not needed. We can be totally honest with God. I understand corporately as we pray together, there are things we should not say. because of those listening. But when we're on our own, and maybe because of the angels as well, but when we're on our own, we can be honest with God. We can talk with Him as we talk to a friend. Again, to do with prayer. It's tempting sometimes to come to God in prayer and rattle off a few requests. We've all done it at some point. And may I encourage you in one thing, and that is this, that when you come to Him in prayer, choose an aspect of God that you appreciate, whether it be His holiness or His goodness or His sovereignty. Just choose an adjective, and you could probably come up with 100. Choose an adjective and just worship Him for a minute or two before you get into anything else. Just praise Him, I guess. Pray, and you'll be surprised how much more enjoyable prayer can be. It's the closest fellowship that we could ever have. So just choose one aspect of the Lord, or choose one thing to be thankful for, and just thank Him for it with all sincerity of your heart. And I think that'll really liven up, and I hesitate to use the word prayer life, because we should be living a life of prayer rather than having a prayer life. It should be a whole life of prayer, characterized all day. Shouldn't a minute go by without thinking, feeling the friendship of God, and just knowing, in any circumstances, knowing that He is right there. Okay, time is slipping away. Just want to mention three men in the Old Testament. You can remember three men. Abraham, called the friend of God in multiple places. James 2:23 and others. Abraham, a friend of God. Moses, Exodus 33 and verse 11, says that he spoke to God as one speaks to a friend. And thirdly, David was a man after God's own heart. Don't you want to be like those three men? I know I do. Okay, very quickly, life characterized by His glory. When I think of showing the glory of God, I think of an ambassador. And we're given that job as an ambassador. An ambassador of, say, Canada, he goes to some country, be it in the Middle East or wherever else, and his job is to represent Canada, represent the interests of his homeland. And we have that same job. We are representing our king. And it's his reputation that is at stake. Okay, it's not really ours. It's his reputation that is at stake. That means that we have to be transformed into the image of His Son, to be true ambassadors of Christ. That's a tall order. One thing, because I'm running out of time, is that just practically, we live in a society. I don't know if you read the Spread the Word, Milk and Honey. I don't know if you read that. It's pretty good. There was one last week, and it had to do with Thanksgiving. We live in a society that complains. Our car, it always breaks down, and our boss is never good enough, and there's that one teacher at school, and you know what I mean. We all, and the weather, we complain about these things. But it encouraged us from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, we can be thankful to God. Being thankful to God, it sets us apart from this kind of society. It just totally makes us look different if we are thankful. And so that's one thing that we could all work on, probably. 2 Corinthians 4:15, I mentioned that verse. It says that thanksgiving abounds to the glory of God. I guess I should just, in closing, mention here our obstacle. Our obstacle is really ourselves, our pride. And it mentions that in verse 9 of Jeremiah 13. We read the verse. In the same way, the Lord says, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Pride renders us useless, like that belt, you know, that was destroyed because it was rotting or whatever was wrong with it, renders us useless. If I had time, I'd go into Jeremiah 18, where the potter is making the pot, and the clay is marred in his hands. There's something wrong with the clay. It's not shaping to how the potter wants it. And so the potter, he actually changes it, kind of messes it up, and makes a new shape out of this pot to make it useful. And I just want to encourage you, let's be useful vessels for Him. Empty ourselves of our own glory. We've got to be useful for Him, filled with His glory. And that's how we can bring glory to Him. It all starts with fellowship. It really does. Fellowship with God, It leads to a life of glorifying Him. Personal worship leads to a life of glorifying Him. Evan, the Lord hasn't come back yet.